Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Well, I'll go ahead and give you an opportunity to leave now if you want to. You say, why? Well, because, you know, at the end of this thing, you might think I should have left. We'll see, amen. Church, we're living in a serious time. Extremely. For believers. For believers, it's an extremely serious time. The Bible calls it perilous times. We've gathered tonight to receive communion. I began to pray this afternoon and do a little study, and the Lord just really just took me someplace and then showed me something I liked. I don't know if I just pray that I can deliver it. Now, we get up and cut up about, you know, well, we've been around here for so long, done all this stuff, but I felt a great responsibility toward the pastors that I ministered for over 20-something years. Some of them I still minister for today, still feel that responsibility. When I was full-time in field ministry, you know, I was sought after. People wanted me, but I stayed with the people that I thought or that I felt in my spirit were doing the most to create a platform for the Spirit of God to move in order to bless people, for people to get saved. Now I had you say, well, did you turn down, you know, bigger churches for small? You know, that the politics of ministry sometimes, some guys operate in that. I don't. I went where the Lord told me. And there were doors that seemed opened that you know, we would try to go into, and they'd never open. And I'd think, now why is that? Because it'd be like a large church, and then, you know, 4 or 5 years later down the road, that whole thing would just dissolve. You know, and I'd have been right in the big middle of it. But I say this before you and before God. I preached my last message on the field or as a field minister in a church that I helped build. When I went to the church, there was 30 people. When I left, there was 3,500. And everything I could do, I was not the pastor, and I did not try to operate as a pastor. I came to that church under strict orders of the Spirit of God and Jesus, the head of the church. He told me three things. He said, you go to that church and you help build it. Never go on staff. Don't have any relationships with any of the people of the church. And make sure that you always give more money to the church than they give to you. The last year that I was in the church, I gave $40,000 more than they gave to me. And they gave me, they supported me very well. Very well. Other churches I could tell you about. Pastors I was very close to. Many of them are not in ministry anymore, and some of them are dead and died prematurely. So I've been a witness to some of the most foolish, ridiculous dramas that have operated in churches, I guess, that the world has ever seen, because we're at the end of the age or at the end of time. Because of that, there's something that probably most of you don't know about me, and may be very surprised to find this out. But I am extremely protective of anybody that would come sit in one of these blue chairs. Extremely. Because I've seen what just a few days of foolishness can do to a church. I've seen what dramas many times that are just puffed up out of the air. It's demonic is what it is. And you know, they're always aimed at the top, at the leadership. That's always been the design of evil and of the devil, is to go after the one that sits at the top. Well, the problem is a lot of people that sit at the top, they're very vulnerable to that. Well, I had to grow a pretty hard skin. Once I begin to see things happen, I begin to see some of the erroneous aspects of the prosperity message begin to really bring devastation. Churches begin to empty out, pastors, things begin to happen to them that I knew in my spirit, they're just not following the redemptive protocol that God puts in the Word of God. So tonight, you know, we always go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, kind of skip through it when we take communion. We're not going to do that tonight. We need to go get into that chapter, because that chapter is a chapter that can keep us healthy, safe, and blessed till Jesus comes for the church. But there's stuff in that chapter that if you don't listen to or hear what it is saying, you'll miss it. And if you miss it, then you may miss something that could cost you your eternal destiny. You don't want that. Listen, wouldn't that be horrible? Horrible. to have something happen to you that you're unwilling to initiate forgiveness and just forget it and just go on down the road and let God do what God does when He restores and blesses people? Would you be willing to hang on to something like that that eventually would cost you a shot at making heaven through the rapture and then ending up not even surviving the 7 years of tribulation? Ending up getting your head cut off and being separated from God throughout eternity. That's crazy. But you'd be surprised what people hang on to. I mean, just flat hang on to it. And the problem with a lot of people is you're drinking other people's poison. Things that are not even relative to your own life. But it's not right, Pastor. What do you care? See, that's the biggest phrase that people use in churches to try to separate, and cause people to get disillusioned. See, what the enemy wants to do is to break down any trust within a church, because if there's no trust, there's no continuity, there's no unity. But if we can get into unity, unity is the most destructive, dangerous thing to happen against the kingdom of darkness. So the enemy is actively, all the time, 24/7, trying to get any church that think that God could even move or do anything supernaturally. He's trying to make sure that church does not get unified. You know why this church is this size? Do you know? How many know? Because of unity. Because my whole attitude against things that are not conducive to unity is very aggressive. You say, why? Because I've been called to be an under-shepherd under the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have a responsibility, first of all, to Him. Secondly, to you. Thirdly, to myself. Amen. Now, go to 1 Corinthians. First of all, go to Proverbs real quick. Go to Proverbs chapter 26. I kept digging in 1 Corinthians 11, said, Lord, I need a scripture. And he just, you know how good God is. Amen. Now look at Proverbs 26. Let's look at verse 1 and 2. Look at what it says. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. It's like snow is not good in the summertime. Now if it's snowing in July in Galveston, there's a problem. Amen. We're having a problem. It snowed 3 feet July the 17th. Yeah, we've got a problem. And as rain in the harvest. Well, rain always hinders harvest. Amen. So honor is not seemly for a fool. But now notice this. As the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. Now do you see that? The curse causeless shall not come. The curse causeless shall not. Now, anytime, anything of the curse, just a whiff of the curse comes into my life, I get busy looking for the cause. First place I go. Anybody know? First place I go is me. And I've spent more time on me than I have anything else. Praying, seeking God. What have I done? What have I done? What have I said? How have I missed it? Amen? I mean, because who am I? Who am I to judge others when the gospel that I preach adamantly tells me, do not judge someone else. Amen. Now go to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. Let me get over there. Glory to God. Now, I'm going to start. Well, that was Romans. Look at verse 17. Usually we start down in verse 23. Go up to 17. Now this is that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that you come together not for the better but for the worse. You know what he's saying? He said, man, every time you guys have church, it's a fiasco. That's what he's telling them. He said, man, it's just a fiasco. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, for they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When you come together, therefore, in one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. One is hungry, another is drunken. Now, we've said this before. They're coming together, they're gathering, and they've turned the communion ordinance, which is a redemptive ordinance, a New Testament, New Covenant ordinance. You with me? So they're coming together to break bread and celebrate the blood, to celebrate the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and His shed and offered blood. Amen? Now, they turned it into a festival. And in the festival, like what happens in every festival, what happens? Well, the rich get exalted and the poor get suppressed. And even in the church, the rich were getting exalted and the poor were getting suppressed. And Paul walked in there and he said, "This ain't right." But now listen. He could say, "This ain't right." You say, why? Because he was an apostle and had the authority to correct it. There could have been half the church looking at that thing saying, "This ain't right, this ain't right, this ain't right," causing all kinds of division and all kinds of trouble. They had no power or authority to correct it. Amen? So everything's out of joint. Everything's out of order. And Paul is trying to put it back into order because he knew the Corinthian church flowed powerfully in the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost always opens the door of utterance. Honey, you get some outstanding miracles in the community and they'll line up 2 days before the service starts. I've been in those lines. I know what it's like. Amen? It says, what, have you not houses to eat and drink? Drink it, or despise you in the church of God and the shame that you have not? What say I unto you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do ye in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup. And when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do you as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." For often you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show forth, or you show out, or you manifest out the Lord's what? Death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat of this bread or drink of this cup in an unworthy manner, like you're doing. Amen. Like you're doing. I'm not talking about us. He's talking to the Corinthian church. For as oft as you eat this bread, drink this cup, you do show forth the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread, drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. What? Now, we're going to get to that in just a moment. Guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Are you with me? But let a man or a woman examine themselves. So let him eat of the bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy fashion or an unworthy way, what do they do? Eat and drink damnation to themselves, not discerning the Lord's body. Or they ain't even got a clue what they're doing when it comes to communion. So he says this, for this cause. Didn't we just read in Proverbs, the curse causeless shall not come. The curse causeless shall not come. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Let me read it. I was looking at it in the Passion Bible. Let me get to that one part. I can't tell though. It looks like 26 or 29. Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the story, proclaiming our Lord's death till he comes. For this reason, whosoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in the wrong spirit will be guilty of dishonoring the blood, the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let a man or an individual first evaluate his own attitude. Then and only then eat the bread and drink the cup. For continually eating and drinking with the wrong spirit will bring judgment upon yourself by not recognizing the body. This insensitivity is why many of you are weak, chronically sick, some even dying. If you do not sit in judgment of others, you will avoid judgment yourself. All right, let's get down to the basics of what we're doing. We're receiving communion. Now listen to me, church. This little toy here is nothing. It's what we're doing with it that you better be very careful with. And you better take heed to what you're doing. Amen? We are celebrating the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are celebrating His shed and offered blood. You come and you sit in the sanctuary of a church. You stand before God. You open this top. You break this bread. You know what you are doing? You are swearing before God that you are right with everybody you know, and there is no judgment in your heart. That's what you're doing. It's like you're saying, like you've heard people say, like, well, I swear on the life of my children, or I swear. No, you're saying, I'm swearing on the body and the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that as far as I know, I'm right with every man, I'm right with every woman, I hold no bitterness, I hold no guile, I walk in love, I love people. I guarantee you, if you don't understand it like that, you're making a big mistake. Because we laugh at them and say, look what they're doing. The rich people, the poor people. Yeah, Paul got them. No, Paul's getting all of us. Amen? Because many times we don't realize we fall into a judgment situation thinking we're justified because we have been harmed or hurt. And many times it's when we get offended, we feel like we have the right to judge. I have the right to judge that. And you have fallen into a trap. You have fallen into a trap. It ain't hard to get healed, church. It ain't hard to prosper. My wife and I have lived by faith for 40 years. Come on, church. What's hard is keeping your heart right and making sure that when you look in people, look in their eyes, that you have a look of love and compassion, that you're not making judgments and that you're not drinking of the poison of others around you that are making judgment, because that kind of poison is the worst, because carried with that is a layer of deception. Amen. People always say, because a lot of things transpired as we shut down one ministry and went to another. And I had people coming to me saying this, Pastor Rusty, you know, those things they're saying about you ain't right. Those things they're saying about you ain't right. That's not right. That's not. You need to tell your story. I never did. I said, I will not tell my story. You say, why not? I ain't got a story. I obey God in everything I did. And with a clear conscience and a clear heart, I forgive all men. I walk in animosity toward no one. Amen. And there's not one person on the earth that I couldn't preach to, lay hands on, walk in love toward, and help if they needed it, if I could help them. Therefore, when I take this and crack this bread and I say, I'm breaking, I'm celebrating this, Lord, I swear to you by the broken body of your sacrifice that as far as I know, I'm right with every person here on this planet. And I have no guile in me. What about the blood? Now you're getting really serious. That's why in the scripture, let me read it again. What does it say? Let me find it here. Verse 27, wheresoever whosoever shall eat the bread and drink of the cup unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. Do you hear that? You think it's some little game to play around with gossip and innuendos and little things that people say, little slide remarks, people trying to get their angle on this offense or on this hurt, and trying to make, you say, why are you talking to us like this? I want you healed. I don't want you to die. My God, I buried people for 3 years till I found out what was going on and stopped it, and we hadn't buried anybody in a year. This stuff is serious, church. There ain't no reason we should have buried Miss Ethel. There ain't no reason we should have buried Miss Ella. But we did not have the atmosphere to get them healed. And I have worked for a year. I don't care if this church ends up with 3 people. If they're in unity, if they love God, they'll know I love them and do anything for them as their pastor to help them and grow them in the kingdom of God. all this other stuff on the peripheral and all this other garbage that people get into. They get into it, church. They get into it. They get into it. Don't you be a they. I said, don't you be a they. It could rob you of your eternal destiny. Paul is telling us by the Holy Ghost, this is the reason many, many, many can't get healed and many die. You know them dying premature? That is a miracle of mercy because they're believing God for the rapture. I guarantee you, Paul was praying, man, if you don't think you can make the rapture, you better believe God for another way to get to heaven. Come on, church. This is the day and hour to live for God the way God says to. I have seen too much destruction in the kingdom. Too much. My heart grieves for the pastors and the friends and the acquaintances that I've had for 40 years that somehow, some way, the devil found the way to put that offense, to put that hurt. Many of them, that's what was amazing to me. Many of them, it was not their own hurt. It was someone else's that grew in them. And then they just went and repeated it and ended up drinking that poison and losing everything that God had blessed them with. We're living in serious, serious, perilous times. Judgment begins at the house of God. People need to know there is a protocol in the kingdom. There are things that God permits and allows. There is a layer of mercy. We live in the acceptable year of the Lord. But honey, I talk about living in the exponential curve of time where man, you take faith. Man, you can get things by faith so much faster now and get prayers answered so much quicker now. Buddy, the same thing's true on the other side of that. You can step into an offense. You can step into somebody else's pain and hurt, and that thing can sweep you up and take you out just like that. Just like that. And see, here's what the devil has to work with. He has every kind of lie, every kind of innuendo, and he has your emotions, your feelings. And people will do more by what they feel than what they know. I've had many, many incidences where I did not feel right, but what I felt went opposite to what I believed. And I had to side with what I believed. That's not easy sometimes. So Paul gives us the answer here for divine health and healing. And see, sometimes we don't realize that we do sometimes hold on to things. We do let other people's trauma affect us. People all around us get offended all the time. And the great offenses of the church, I'm not saying this church, but of the move of God and of what God does in His kingdom, that's one of the craziest, saddest things. Don't you realize what you've been saved out of? Don't you realize how God rescued you so that when this life ends, you don't end up in an eternal place of torment and hell? For God so loved the world. Well, that word world's not relevant to you. God so loved you. And that love He expects to permeate and grow in His church and in His body. More than anything else, we have to guard our love walk. Because if we don't guard our love walk, our faith will not operate. And there's a lot of people because, listen, I learned this years ago. There began to be a little turn in a lot of what I call the sensational of the charismatic move into a lot of teaching. And I liked that because I was a teacher. And I'd get with it, man. I'd go to some countries and preach 3 and 4 hours at a time. I loved that. I just loved that. But I noticed something, that when the Holy Ghost was really moving strongly, not saying that it wasn't when we were teaching, we had some wonderful meetings. But when people had to sit and endure the teaching of the Word of God, the crowds got smaller, smaller, and smaller, and smaller. Because you got to sit and you got to endure it. But that really wasn't the issue. The issue was this. I said this one time to God in prayer. I said, you know, the Word, it puts a demand on people. And I said, now I'm preaching this Word the right way you're showing it to me, the way you're inspiring me to, and the way the Holy Ghost is activating the gift of God on the inside of me. But you know, people, it seems like, want to get it here. But for the one or two that get it, 10 will leave. And the Lord said, welcome to the club. He said, I spoke to 500 to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and only 120 went. He said, there is an active opposition to everything you believe, everything you know to be true and good, and everything I want you to preach to the world. So you have to understand that. The adversary is after you in such a subtle way. Amen. Don't ever say to yourself, I can't, Pastor, nothing ever offend me. Well, you're already offended. If you ever live in fear of anything, you ought to live in fear of something that might offend you. Because it can take you out. And I don't say live in fear to you, you know, you're obsessed with some fear. I mean, you have a healthy respect that I don't want to have anything enter into my life that's going to cause me to enter into offense or to put me in this categorization of a Christian that's weak and sickly all the time, can't seem to get healing, can't seem to get it to manifest, or die prematurely. Amen. Now listen, we fight diseases around here. You get sick, we're going to fight. We're going to rejoice. We're going to thank God. We're going to believe God for good reports. We'll get in there and fight with you. But give us something to fight with. If you're full of hate, offense, bitterness, all kinds of mad. Listen, I know things, bad things happen to good people. Amen. You know, there's one book I read by Brother Hagin, Why Must Christians Suffer? And that's what he writes on right there. That's why we suffer. Because we don't correctly discern who we are together. You know what this is? There's one word for it. It's easy to say body. Because nobody thinks anything of that. That's not what this is. This is Jesus. This is Jesus in the earth. That's what the church is. Jesus in the earth. The devil knows that. This is him. This is Christ. This is Jesus. Christ in us. Where's Jesus in the earth? He's in us. Where are we? We're in the church. What is the church? The government of God in the earth. This is Christ. This is him. This is Christ. He's coming back for himself. Calls it a glorious church. And the uniting of it to our minds can only be communicated to us by using the word marriage. Because that's the greatest union we know. Which this union is even greater. Marriage is flesh to flesh. The new birth is spirit to spirit. And when you begin to wake up and begin to realize actually what God has done for you, in you, and through you, you'll begin to value that and you'll begin to protect it by keeping your heart pure at all times. Amen. And you can't help but be around people who are messed up. I mean, you can't put a sack over your head and walk around and say, don't talk to me because I don't want to get mad like you are. Amen. And I talk to tons of people all the time that are really offended. Really offended. Especially you get around people who have had a little bit of spiritual experience and then have had some setbacks or some letdowns or some, I don't understand why this or why did they die? Listen, I mean, man, we've talked about what offends people, how the word, the demand of the word, how other people offend you and how God chooses to do things. Now we're living in a rapidly unfolding dispensation in which God is doing this and God is doing that and God's doing this and God's doing that and God's doing this and God's putting his hand on the nations again. And God, you say, what do you mean? He said he's going to go up to the north and put hooks in Gog and Magog and pull them right down into the Middle East and take care of this whole situation. God is God. And God is taking a greater control in these last days and depending on the church to do what? To be that stalwart standard of a withholding force that says no. No. Not till we're out of here. Look how close we are. Look how close. That's why we're the ones that are suffering this pressure and this hypersensitivity. That is the key. You've got to deliver yourself from the hypersensitivity that the narrative of the world is producing right now. Everyone's sensitivity is turned all the way up to the top. You can't say this. You can't say that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Up is down. Right is left. In is out. Come on, church. The Word of God talks about in the last days there's a great inversion of reality. We're living in an inversion of reality. Beam me up, Scotty. Beam me up, Jesus. Amen. I don't know who Scotty is, but... Oh, that's the Star Trek guy. That's right. I just knew he the guy that beamed everyone up, If you're going to get somebody to beam you up, it might as well be Scotty. Amen. But we're living in that inversion. We've watched it happen. How many have been saved for a decade, 10 years? 15 years, 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, 35 years, 40 years. Have you seen it change? Have you seen the inversion? I mean, it's happened in our lifetime. It's happened in a generation. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. But the good news is, without a doubt, this is the right side. There's a better way to say it. Thank you, Lord. This is the righteous side. We're not perfect. We struggle. But man, we got to be on guard, church. God needs you healed. That's why He provided healing in the covenant. In the covenant. God wants you prosperous. That's why He put prosperity in the covenant. In the covenant. Amen? And that's why He gives us communion. To reestablish in our heart what? The terms of our covenant. His body was broken to break the power of Satan over our life. With His death, He accumulated all that was wrong with the sickness, the addictions, the perverseness, the depravity, anything that man had gone into because of the iniquitous state of his heart. Jesus took it upon Himself and allowed His body to be broken and bruised. Brother Tony Cook, wasn't he a blessing? He's become such a good friend. I hear from him every week. He sent me this was done in 1972, I believe, by some doctors that were affiliated with Oral Roberts University. They did a medical examiner's report of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, as if a modern ME, medical examiner, would come on the scene of the crucifixion, take the body, take it into his morgue, and do an extensive autopsy up on the body. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Obviously, Jesus' heart burst within His chest. Literally, the flesh of His heart tore within His chest. And that sack that the heart sits in that's full of water emptied out into His chest cavity. And when they stuck that sword in His, spear in His side, that blood and that water ran out. My God, my God. But He would have stayed on the cross forever. One thing killed Him. One thing caused Him to die. One thing caused Him to cry out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken? One thing. It's our sin. He took it. And the evidence of Him taking our sin was His death. He died. He died. The greatest controversy in the church, we are screamed at by the denominations, the heresies of the charismatic move. This sits at the top. That precious one. So pure, so precious, untouched by the sin of humanity, yet bearing our sin, untouched by the iniquity of Satan himself, yet bearing our iniquity, that He would dare have to suffer 3 days and 3 nights in hell. But He did. But He did. Well, Pastor, it's just 3 days and 3 nights. The Bible says to God, a day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. I guarantee you talked to your Lord and Savior about that, and time had no relevance on His pain. Time had no relevance on His agony. He suffered for you and I. But then He rose from the dead. Oh my. It just reverberates through my life. The reality of a God so loving and so kind that even myself could shake my fist at His callings and His gentle urgings and His mercy and say, no, no, year after year, month after month, no, 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 no. And God still loved me and say, yes, yes, yes. That's the love that's in you. That's the kind of love that He puts in us. So if you will, open your care. Does everybody have a communion? Help us real quick, Danny. Here. Come on, Leah. Come up here, sweetie. One right there. I think Tracy needs one. Anyone else? I want you to view this a little differently than you have before. Men would take oaths in ancient days Some would swear by their family. Some would swear by different things. Amen. But you know, God instructs us not to swear by those things. But when we stand before God in a communion ordinance of the church, it's a very holy, righteous thing. And what it is, it's judgment. It's judgment day. This is judgment. This is judgment hour. It's 7:48 in March. What's today? The 16th, 17th? 17th of March, 7:48. It's the judgment moment for your life. This is all the judgment you'll ever know. If you really believe this, this is all the judgment you'll ever know. This is it. This is it. So why not make it real? Judge yourself. Don't judge me. Don't judge what happened to Bob or Sue or someone else. Don't judge yourself. Judge yourself and recognize in doing that you're standing before God. And God is using the symbol of this little cracker here to represent the broken body of His Son and our Savior. And He's saying, by that, this is your token. You're saying, by that, Lord, I'm saying to you, need to make them bigger. I'm saying to you, as far as I know, I love everybody. Hallelujah. I can tell you the history of our church. There's a lot of people that if they just wake up a little bit, they'd just come on back and get healed and restored. Other people I wouldn't let near here with a 10-foot pole. You say, why? Because I love this place and I love you. And they ain't got it right. Amen. But it's not up to them. It's up to you. You've got to look inward. I'll never forget. I was given, and we lost it at Ike. When Ike came, we lost a lot of our memorabilia, a lot of our stuff like that. But I lost my grandma's Bible, my intercessor grandma's Bible. But I had read it. I had gone through it. And she had written in Ephesians 6 where it talks about in the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. She wrote it. And she wrote, it almost sounded like a scripture that should have been in there. Amen. But it wasn't. But she wrote it. It was one of her notes. She said, God is unwilling to turn the power of the sword loose in the hands of anyone who's not willing to turn it on themselves first. Amen. I mean, we're so willing to judge each other, but why don't we take that same intensity of judgment, turn it on us? Amen. I love what Brother Osteen used to teach us. He used to say, always remember the biggest room in your life is the room for improvement. We can all change. If there's something you know you can do to initiate healing with anyone, and you don't do that, amen? People sit and stew mad at each other, sitting across from the aisle of each other at the church. One offended at the other, and they'll sit there year after year after year after year, and then they come up in the healing line, won't get healed of cancer because it's eating them up. And I put my hand on their head, and I got this healing gift and anointing bubbling on the inside of me, and it stays on the inside. Doesn't go nowhere. Okay, Lord, I'll teach them some more. I'll teach them some more. I hope they get it before they go to sleep too soon. Amen? Hey, I'm going to fight this thing out to the end. Man, to be alive in the last days and to know what we know and get to do what we do, my goodness, why even mess with any of that stuff? Man, just keep your heart pure. So take this moment. Close your eyes. I'll pray a prayer. Agree with it. Heavenly Father, right now, we ask that you take the light of all the goodness and love and mercy that you are and turn it inward in us. As your wonderful King, David, he said, "Search me, O Lord. See if there be any wicked way in me. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, my strength and my Redeemer." Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, here's the point. If there's anything between you and God, You get it right right now. You get it right. Just confess it unto Him. The Bible says He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all sin and all unrighteousness. Then Jesus very emphatically taught us in Mark chapter 11. He said, when you stand praying, believe you receive. Whatsoever things you desire, believe you receive them, you shall have them. But when you stand praying, forgive. Forgive. So if there's anybody in your life that has wronged you, hurt you, said something about you, stolen from you, no matter what it is, right now you say, Father, I forgive them. I forgive them. I let it go. I'm not going to hang on to it. Now, here's the thing. Here's the thing. Thoughts in your mind that go ignored will die in your mind. Thoughts in your mind that you have given life to by what you said. There's words in here that need to be repented of and ask forgiveness. You've said words. You've said words. You've said words. You need to ask the Father to forgive you. You've said words. Ask the Father, Father, forgive me. Father, cleanse me. My faith is in the blood. My faith is in the blood. But then here, but it's your broken body. Now break that bread. That empowers me to repent and turn from any lifestyle or mindset that would cause this to enter into my life again. And in great honor, oh my God, of what you did for me and what you continue to do for me, I receive of the bread. Receive the bread. Carefully remove your little deal off the top of the juice. Sometimes they don't pull even. Blood is such an awesome thing. To be guilty of the blood of Jesus is to use it for the wrong purpose. To be guilty of the blood of Jesus is not to recognize its significance and importance. To be guilty of the blood of Jesus is to go through a communion service and not do what is required of you in a communion service. Maybe that's why more people don't come. Amen. Still the most awesome sight I've ever seen. In an atomic second of time, in what I call a mini vision, was this very blood on the altar of God. And I remember the physical emotion that I felt and the feeling that I had. I mean, it was like a camera flash, so fast. But just like a camera flash will leave an indention, leave an image in your mind, I can still close my eyes and see it in all its color. My goodness. Oh, Krashipata. I claim no success. I claim no anything about the last 40 years of my life except this one thing. I've done my best to live a spiritual life according to the Bible. Amen? And so, sure, there's people that get very offended at me, very mad at me, very upset at me. There's been people all down through. And then I listen to the rhetoric of what they say about a lot of the other wonderful ministers that I know, and I think, pretty good club of people to be in. But here's the thing. God loves you, and He has put a system of truth in place that has information in the Word of God and demonstration by His Spirit that can do anything that seems impossible here on the earth. And God's not only connected you to that, He's birthed you into that through the new birth. We are born again into the family of God. We are born by His blood, not the water of a human birth, but the blood of a spiritual birth. Woo! My goodness. So when you hold this, it's not blood, it's grape juice. I guess it's grape juice. Hope it is. It's grape juice. It's not blood, but it's what it represents. It's what the Word says about it that gives it an entity all of its own. So what we do tonight, see the body of Christ, when He hung up on that cross, He was wounded, bruised, chastised, and striped. Accumulation of all the negative garbage in humanity. Amen? But his blood shed seven times, perfect number of God, seven times in the garden, crown of thorns. Amen? Crown of thorns. Whipped his back. Amen? Bruised inward when they punched him, pulled his beard. Amen? They nailed his hands. He bled. They nailed his feet. He bled. They put a sword in his side. He bled. But then he offered it one time. Can you imagine? That's why you ought to use your imagination to think on these things. Because the Bible says to think on. So many times, I've done this so often, where I will lay back in the bed and I'll close my eyes and I'll think, okay. Imagination? What was heaven like when Jesus came back from the earth after he had been crucified? After there'd been 3 days in heaven, because there's no time in heaven, but there was a time in heaven. 3 days, earth time, in heaven. Angels folded and bowed their head. There were no celebrations. There was no praise to the Father. All of heaven and eternity was quietened before this awesome sacrifice. And then all of a sudden, this explosion of light in the region of the dam, the darkest place in the universe, had the explosion of the brightest light. And Jesus didn't just stand up, he rose up. And he spoiled principalities and powers. He made a show of him openly. His body went back up into the earth, and just like a man would put on his pants and suit in the morning, he suited back up in that body, and instead of blood, human blood, the glorified anointing of his deity began to run through his veins. He went into the tomb, Son of Man. He stepped out of the tomb, Son of God. And as Son of God, he took his blood. He went to heaven. He marched down that main street to the Holy of Holies and poured that blood on the mercy seat of God. You just thought David danced when they brought the ark into Jerusalem. You just thought Jeremiah wept or Isaiah prophesied. I'm telling you, it was high, glorified, magnified, exalted revival. As the King of Glory entered into his throne. But you know, he didn't just sit down. He went back to the earth and appeared for approximately 55 days. We have no recorded miracles. He was preparing his disciples for the upper room and getting ready for the most awesome outpouring of the Spirit of God that the earth has ever seen. And on that day, that Pentecost day, the Spirit of God poured into the earth, not looking for a building built by the hands of men, but looking for the place that had been cleansed by that blood. And the Spirit of God found that place in yours and my heart. Why do we say covered by the blood at Island Church? You know why? Because the blood covers it all. Our healing, our salvation, our redemption, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood entered he once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Heavenly Father, eternity stretches out before all of those that are born again and love your word and love your name as an opportunity to thank you for what you've done by your broken body and by your shed and offered blood. We ask you, Jesus, that blood, that forgiving blood, would be relevant to us in that which you forgive us for, sins of omission, that which we've done. Yep, shouldn't have done it. Sins of commission, that which we've done, shouldn't have done it. Sins of omission, should have done that. Forgive us, Lord. And Father, by that same blood, we forgive others. And we thank you that as we stand before you, the slate is clean. There is no book. only the blood. And in great honor of the Lord Jesus Christ and His mercy, we receive tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now lift your hands and worship God. Lift your hands and give Him glory. Lift your hands and give him honor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, before we receive the offering, let me say this. The Word of God is designed to change your mind. We renew our minds with the Word of God. Actually, that word is like the same word that a lot of the computer geeks and people like that use when they talk about reprogramming a computer. Reprogramming some type of instrument or instrumentation. Amen. Now, people say, well, Pastor, you know, I'm right with everybody and I forgive everybody, I love everybody, blah, you know, all that thing. I'm still so sick. Still so broke. So, your mind needs to get healed. You say, why? Because you still think, because your body tells you you're sick, you're sick. And you still think, because there's no money in your pocketbook, you're broke. So how in the world are you ever going to get anywhere in faith? If that's how you see yourself, sick and broke.
Well, that's how I feel.
Amen. Who was it used to sing that song, Feelings? Used to make fun of that song, Feelings. Nothing more than feelings. Anyway, we had a friend that used to preach and make fun of that song because her feelings are, you know, the story of Brother Hagin one time riding with a bunch of his proteges, and he's sitting in the back seat. Of course, you know, he's the big preacher, big anointing, all that kind of stuff. They're driving along, and he goes like this, woo, did you feel that? He drove a little further. He did it again. Woo! Did you feel that? Mark Brzee was in the car. He said, I just sat there. I wasn't going to say nothing. He said, finally somebody said, no, Brother Hagin, I didn't feel that. He said, neither did I. Feelings. Amen. You're going to have to live by the word. You know, I've got up and preach so sick. And the devil saying, you're just lying to these people. I mean, his thoughts is, you're just lying. You're lying. You're going to drop dead on the floor. You're all going to know you're lying. I'm healed. The Bible says, the Word says, don't ask my body. Don't ask my doctor. Nope, the Bible says, the Word says. See, that's a mindset change. Hallelujah. Well, that's long enough. We don't want to miss our treats in the back. How many are ready to give this evening? Does anybody know what this offering is? Good. So I'm going to read the scripture. You're doing good. Has anybody noticed in your life grace working for you since we've been doing this? I absolutely have. I have experienced some awesome, awesome demonstrations of the grace of God. So cool. So let's read our scripture. 2 Corinthians 9. I like that. That's, you know, prove all things, the Bible says. Hold fast to that which is good. So I was telling you guys, I got invited to preach in this mental health, not preach, they said to speak. Let's see if I can think of the name. It's the spiritual connection to mental health or something like that. So they wanted information and stuff, so I'm writing this kind of a resume. And I got to the end of it, and I'm reading, and I'm thinking, now they're going to think I was crazy. But they're going to think I'm even crazier now. This poor guy's gone from being a drug addict. Now he thinks he hears from God and speaks in tongues. So I hadn't turned in my application yet, you know. I don't know, man. We'll have to wait and see. Oh, yeah, we're going to read the scripture. Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. This ought to be in your spirit. God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Amen? Now listen to this. You know, paying your mortgage is a good work. Paying off those credit cards is a good work. Paying that car off is a good work. Come on, church. Some of you need some grace to get out of debt. Somebody need a stone to knock your Goliath down with. Well, how about a grace offering? That's what I do. I got a certain amount I give every time, unless God speaks to me to give more. Amen? So, believe God that as you sow, there is another dimension of grace that you're not walking is going to come on into your life. Amen? And listen, when it comes to healing, you've got to turn yourself inward and you've got to look under every table, examine every dark closet, anything in your life, because people sometimes don't realize what they hang on to. You know, when we were in Bible school, Brother Osteen, you know, he loved the Philippine Islands, and he went to the Philippines a lot. And in the Philippines, he saw them catching monkeys. He was down in the south. And they would take a bottle, and there was a nut about the size of the opening of that bottle. They would drop in that bottle. And those monkeys, they liked that nut. It was part of their diet. So those monkeys would go down there, and they'd reach in there and grab that nut. But they won't let it go. And they're dragging that bottle around. You just run over there with a net and just scoop them up. And, you know, you're having fresh monkey brains for breakfast in the morning, you know. But but that would poor monkey, bless his heart. He should have let go of that nut. You know what that means? I pull on my ear like, y'all don't know what that means, huh? I mean, you better listen to what I'm saying. You better let go of that nut, amen? Let me read it one more time. Man, man. And God is able. Thank God we serve an able God to make all grace. What kind of grace? I need business grace. Okay. Grace in my body. Okay. Grace for my marriage. Okay. Grace for my kids. Okay. He's able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, everything you need. Everything you need. Some of you need a door to open. Amen? Some of you need a door to open. Some of you need an opportunity. Some of you need an idea. Why not grace? Hallelujah. Amen. Hold your offerings up. Say out loud, Heavenly Father, I release my faith toward your grace tonight. Sowing this offering according to 2 Corinthians 9. Thanking you that you are able. That you are able. And I do believe I receive an extraordinary amount of grace into my life, touching every area and every aspect. That grace may empower me to be blessed, to be a blessing to others. Thank you, Father, for my increase, which will increase others in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. Stand on your feet. I'll pray and dismiss. On your way to the back, you can drop your offerings in the receptacle. Father, thank you for tonight. Let us take very seriously the words we hear. Let us judge our own hearts. Break us loose, Father, from all of the pain, the hurt, the offense. Yeah, Lord, and the lies of many that just don't understand how spiritual things operate. But Father, help us, Spirit of God, our comforter, our guide, our intercessor, hallelujah, our strengthener, our standby, our helper. Help us to be clean. Help us to walk in forgiveness. Help us to be restorers of the breach. And help us, Lord, to help others. We ask in Jesus' name. Thank you for our protection and safety. Thank you for victory during the week. Thank you for this season of the celebration of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. You said, Lord, those that pray such would prosper. So we ask, Father, that you would bring peace to that land. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com. Hallelujah, Jesus.